HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. They haven't caught him yet, but police in Chester County, Pennsylvania, think they may be close to capturing escaped inmate Danilo Cavalcante, who they warn is dangerous.
He is now armed with a .22 caliber rifle with a scope and flashlight mounted on it.
Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
At this point, I believe he is beyond assistance and he is in that perimeter, and we will actively hunt until we find him.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy now says he intends to support an impeachment inquiry against President Biden. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The House Judiciary and Oversight Committees have been conducting investigations of Hunter Biden involving his business dealings and other matters. Speaker McCarthy is expected to meet with House Republicans during a closed-door session Thursday morning, where he is likely to say that the committee inquiries have uncovered enough information to move forward with an impeachment inquiry.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's bulletproof train entered Russia very early this morning. He's expected to meet with President Putin to talk about an arms deal. Military consultant Jeff McCausland.
Certainly seems the Russians now are becoming more and more desperate, particularly for things like artillery ammunition, as they fight this war in Ukraine.
The biggest antitrust trial in decades just started in Washington. Correspondent Joe Lynn Kent tells us Google's facing off with the Justice Department.
The DOJ alleging that Google has used anti-competitive and exclusionary practices by paying billions of dollars to make its search engine the default on millions of smartphones. Google Chief Legal Officer Kent Walker says the company is not breaking the law.
We believe that people use Google because it's helpful. You've never seen more ability for people to be able to find information in different ways.
Well, today's the day for tech nerds. Apple's unveiling the iPhone 15 and some other stuff. One of the big changes in the new phone, a different charging cord. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
For the past decade or so, Apple's been using a proprietary cord called Lightning for all of its phones, but it has already switched to USB-C for many of its tablets and for the Mac computers.
Apple's also expected to reveal two new models of its watch, and AirPods will reportedly get new features like the ability to mute and unmute. Ah, the sound of an ice-cold drink pouring into your cup. But McDonald's is making a big change. The company is getting rid of those self-serve soda fountains. They'll soon be phased out in all stores, and your drink will be poured by someone working behind the counter. They say the move is aimed at creating a more consistent experience as well as cleaner public areas in its restaurants. Checking Wall Street, markets are open, but they're in the red. The Dow down 69 points. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Indigenous tribes in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are asking federal officials to deny a utility's request for a loan to build a natural gas-fired power plant on Lake Superior. Dairyland Power is seeking a $350 million public loan for the project to cover their share of the cost of building the Namaji Trail Energy Center power plant. The indigenous tribes called the project unthinkable in the face of climate change. The total cost of the project would be roughly $700 million. A high-speed police pursuit raced through western Wisconsin on Sunday, finally ending with a crash in Osseo. According to the Osseo Police Department, an 18-year-old driver nearly hit a police patrol car after speeding through a stop sign. The driver then ignored the officer's attempt to stop him and sped onto U.S. Highway 53 at speeds of up to 125 miles per hour. The driver of the car then crashed through a guardrail and went down an embankment before he was taken into custody with just minor injuries. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human effect climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates. Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin, and hello, Jane Matinere.
Hello, my friend.
I was so looking forward to seeing you in person today and giving you a big hug because I've missed you so much.
Oh, thank you. I missed you.
And then lo and behold, last night you shot me a text saying, well, we're ripping up the studio, so you probably should do the show from home. So I have not gotten to embrace. You look very tan, though. I can see you on the live stream, and you look like you got some color.
We did. We got some sun. It was not terribly warm, which made me happy, actually.
Okay.
It wasn't 90. You know, it was like mid-70s and partly cloudy, but in that kind of climate, you still, you know, we did a lot of walking. We were outside all the time, so I wore 50 SPF, just in case anybody's wondering, so don't yell at me.
Do you have a big floppy hat that you wear as well?
I did not take a big floppy hat. I could have bought many of them.
Many. Well, I have to say, I'm so happy that you had a vacation. You were missed terribly. Greg did a great job.
That's what I've heard. I knew he would.
But that doesn't mean that I didn't miss you a lot. And there was like, it was so funny because there's certain topics that I feel like I had to save until you got back, including. Did you know, because I know how big of a fan you are of The Bachelor, The Golden Bachelor is starting, and they did indeed, the lowest age of any of the women is 60.
Oh, yeah.
So it's higher than you thought it was going to be. You said it was going to be like 45-year-old. I was like, I'm going to wait until she's back to broach this topic.
Okay, I still think that they are not going to grab their average 60-year-old woman.
Well,
I mean, you've
he's not the average 60-year-old, 70-year-old man. Have you seen him?
Yes, and that's the whole point. They're still going to be the most beautiful of the 60-year-old people.
It's television.
And I know.
But speaking of which, can I tease you a little bit?
Sure.
So I listened. I obviously was gone yesterday. Thank you, Joseph Hecky, for covering. But I got to listen to the whole show. He did a great job.
Yeah,
he did. A great job. And I... You guys also started catching up with you and your trip. And while you were out, one of the things Greg and I joked about was how much this trip might reinvent you and you may come back not cynical. And so the fact that you were like, you gave about 2 seconds to how good the trip was, and then you just immediately started complaining about the airplane. I was like, nope, she's still the same person.
Pretty much. That's really funny. Although I will say, Kristen, that... The airplane stuff aside, every time I travel, I feel better about humans. Which
interesting. Say more about that.
Yeah, which you wouldn't think would necessarily happen, but Every time we travel, I am just reminded of how much we are similar. Mm. We want the same things. We want a place to live. We like good food. We like to laugh. We like, and so that always makes me feel better. Because even with some of the staff that worked at our resort, and I told Louisa the night before we left, and I got all emotional, and I said, we would be friends. I know we would be friends. Because it's just those kinds of connections, and I think that's what is so important about traveling.
I totally agree.
You know?
I think, well, it's the little things that we talk about of the importance of not replacing every checkout with a computer. Because of the small talk you can make with your community and your neighbors when you're picking up groceries, or all the little things of when you actually put yourself out there to have in-person conversations. And certainly it's underlined when you're traveling, because it's like you're in a new place, you're experiencing new things, it's a different culture, and yet it's all the same.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree with you on that. And so happy that you're happy to be home.
I am. It's always good to be home. And sleep in your own bed, and I'm very particular about my pillow, so it's always easier to sleep in your own bed.
All right, well, I can't wait to embrace you. Hopefully the studio will be on tomorrow, so I'll be back in studio tomorrow, but we have a very fun, packed show today. It's Tuesday, so Dan Schaefer is going to be here at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. He'll be here at 10:30, and we're going to talk impeachment, because I feel like we're going to talk about this every single day because it's that important. But also any updates on Megan Wolf and whether or not, I feel like these are two similar stories as the complexity of, can they do that? Because it seems like they can't. And yet they do.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Dan at 10:30. And then in the next hour, this weekend, the Willie Street Fair is this weekend.
That's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
It's Madison's longest running neighborhood gathering. And so Colleen Hayes is going to be here to talk about that. We're also going to be talking to Sandy Peters, who is a Waukesha woman who is organizing a walk run for this weekend that is going to be raising funds for Dig Deep, which is about providing water and like filling the water gap to places where they don't have access to clean drinkable water, which we take for granted.
And this is in America.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is happening in America. People don't have access to clean drinkable water.
Well, and I think it's such a poignant timing that they're doing this fundraiser in this walk and this fundraiser in Waukesha this weekend, because I think it's within the last 5 days, the Waukesha pipeline turned on. And about 2 weeks ago, end of August, last week of August, we had Dan Dukniak on, who we talked about this project and how long it's been running and stuff. And the truth of the matter is, the city of Waukesha residents, the cost of their water is going to go up. But he kind of ended it. It was like the access, being able to afford and have access to clean water, and how many millions of people don't even have that. And so I feel like it's maybe a good reminder for the community that there's a lot of people who don't
for sure
have enough water, as we let our shower run until it heats up and all of the things that we take for granted when it comes to clean drinkable water. But where I want to start is the wild. Do you feel guilty? This is my question. Do you feel guilty about what happened to Aaron Rodgers last night? And I'm not laughing. I'm laughing out of it's so uncomfortable, because I think we talked about it a month or so ago. We're like, should we stop talking about Aaron Rodgers? And people called in about their feelings about him. And I think most Packers fans have very mixed feelings about Aaron Rodgers and him leaving the Packers in the way that he did, him joining the Jets, him taking a pay cut, the Hard Knocks thing. Even his interview with John McEnroe that kicked off the game last night, you know, he kind of referenced being a massive fish in a tiny little goldfish bowl in as the difference of living in Green Bay. And he sounded, you know, because he's the best I've ever done.
We're losing you a little bit there. You're a little sticky.
Better now?
Better now.
Okay. And so even up until literally the moment of his first snap, there was feelings of like, oh God, you're still sounding so arrogant. And so people have feelings. And yet I don't think anyone had the feeling of, oh, I hope you get potentially a career ending, if not a season ending, if not a career ending injury on your fourth snap of the season. So my question is, are you feeling any Catholic guilt this morning about Aaron Rodgers? 844-967-2789. Because I certainly woke up to one text from one specific person, I think, feeling a little guilty about that because they had hoped that he didn't have a bad season, that he wouldn't have a good season, but maybe that, but not this. So
I would like to think that most people, even if they don't like Aaron Rodgers and how bad the breakup was, that, as you said, nobody would wish a career-ending injury on him.
No, and I don't think they would, but it's I don't know if the word is irony. I don't know, like, it's to have so much hype. Like, I don't know, this feels unprecedented as far as, you know, having the Hard Knocks season start with, be focused on the Jets. There's so much hype around Aaron Rodgers being Super Bowl contenders, everything that was going to happen with him and the Jets this year, just the Jets in general putting so, like, they're all of their eggs in this basket for Aaron Rodgers. And for him to literally have one attempt and basically, yeah, it was one attempt. It was four snaps, one throw, and he goes down. And it's like, you can't, that's a movie. That's like, if you wrote that in a movie, they said that's too on the nose. You can't do that.
Yeah, that would never happen in life, right?
And so my question is, do you feel guilty about Aaron Rodgers? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. On the Facebook live stream, which you are always welcome to join and watch us along with listen to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, which you can find at As Goes Wisconsin. Joe McClear says, none of the vaccinated quarterbacks tore their Achilles this past weekend. Checkmate, anti-vaxxers.
Joe, bringing it on Tuesday.
And I know Joe's not even a Packers fan. He's a Lions fan. So he's saying that with an extra oomph. gosh. But I certainly feel bad. I didn't want him to win the Super Bowl. I was with my family over the weekend and my brother actually was like, I hope they win the Super Bowl. I was like, that's a weird thing to say. And his reasoning was, I think it's kind of the fact that the Jets have always been bad and maybe they've earned this one and he's earned this one.
Well, from what I've read, the Jets defensive line was always in question and
offensive line is terrible.
And that's what made this sack possible.
Well, it's that, but then we'll also, good Aaron Rodgers, very good friend, Bakhtiari, tweeted last night. So we'll read that tweet when we get back on what he has to blame for this, because he's blaming the NFL. So we will talk about that. We'll take your calls if you're feeling guilty about Aaron Rodgers this morning. And we'll also give you an update on Jack's American Pub and how that turned out for the bar. 844-967-2789. We'll be back after the break.
If you're a motorist of the four-wheel variety, please watch out for those of us in Wisconsin who do their traveling on two wheels. Adjust your mirrors to reduce your blind spots. Allow motorcyclists a full lane width. Use your turn signal when merging or changing lanes. And allow more following distance between you and the motorcycle. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking half. Everybody's choking now.
Devek.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
It's 57 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
My brain, too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and
woo. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jay Mettner is back. The tag team duo is back on the air together.
Yes.
Just not in the studio together today, but that's okay. I'm just sad because after today, we only have 8 more shows together. And that's if the baby doesn't come early.
She's not coming early.
She's not coming early. She can't come early because Mike's still recovering from his back surgery.
Exactly.
So we've already decided, baby, you got to stay put for as long as possible.
Just sit tight for, I don't know, 2 weeks yet. It'll all be good.
Well, we are talking about, I think, one of the most unbelievable stories. I don't know what else we could have started today with, but talking about Aaron Rodgers and being out after 4 snaps. And if you, as a Packers fan, who maybe wish that he didn't have a great season, feel guilt at all? 844-967-2789, because at the commercial break, I checked, and it sounds like 18 minutes ago, they did announce that, in fact, his Achilles is torn, and the MRI has confirmed it, and he is out for the season after 4 snaps.
Wow. Nobody could have predicted this or seen this coming. And not that it requires an especially violent hit, but the one didn't look that terrible.
I think everyone saw the hit, and they were like, what even happened? And so this is the thing that I didn't realize. I think I've heard here and there that this is a point of contention for players in the NFL, but it comes down to AstroTurf or artificial turf. So David Bakhtiari tweeted this last night, and obviously those two are very good friends, yep. Even though, you know, Bakhtiari is still a Packer. But he's been dealing with an injury for 2 years plus.
Right.
So he tweeted out last night, congrats at NFL. How many more players have to get hurt on artificial turf? You care more about soccer players than us. You plan to remove all artificial turf for the World Cup coming up, so clearly it's feasible. I'm sick of this. Do better. So he makes it sound like, you know, because the hit looked like a normal hit.
It did.
But that the way they slip, or whatever it is specifically about artificial turf, that leads to torn Achilles, torn ACLs, and some of the injuries that we've seen sideline these guys for entire seasons. And I don't know enough about the science of that to know if that is one of the reasons why this is changing more. But it also is, that's an interesting point that he makes, that if they're actually they're willing to change it out to put real grass in for the World Cup
yeah.
and for those games, but then for the NFL, they wouldn't, especially when you think about the investment that the NFL and these teams have in their players and all the other rules that they change to protect players and their longevity, because there's a lot of, they're worth them a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text, do you feel guilty about Aaron Rodgers? Texter from Waukesha, I wanted him to go to Dallas and beat them next week.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
From the 715, Rodgers lasted 1 minute and 36 seconds. Now we know why Danica, Olivia, and Shailene were so disappointed. Youch.
That is a zinger.
That's,
That is a zinger
that is a zinger.
Tuesday morning. Well, I got a text from the first thing I got this morning at 6:30 a.m. from my mother. Shout out Deb Bry. Because we were all, you know, they were home and everyone watched the game last night, was good morning. Not a good morning for Aaron Rodgers. I have to say, I hoped he would not do well in NYC, but certainly never wanted something like this to happen. And that was kind of where I started. I was like, I was not necessarily rooting for him, but not this.
Not this, for sure.
And especially because, you know, this was actually the most compassionate response I've seen so far is from Maggie Loney, who came on the show last year. I don't remember. I think she was the only woman Packer pundit we had on last year. So she is, she's the podcaster for Pack a Day podcast and She's Head TV, and she's great. But she tweeted this out, which I think is for sure the most compassionate. She said, Aaron Rodgers is the reason so many football fans fell in love with the sport. First ballot Hall of Famer, four-time MVP. He's one of the best to ever do it, and a huge reason I have so many incredible football memories. I truly hope that wasn't the last time I see him play football. And then she followed up with, like, I'm just sad, man. And I think that was kind of the similar feeling of his the end of the last season, right? We're like, whoa, was this the last time we saw him as a Packer? And that feeling of, like, oh, could this be the last time we saw him play? Was that... that play? Really?
Well, and I think, too, people, if you didn't want him to do well, at least you wanted him to, see him lose fairly, right?
Fairly, yes. And certainly, and we're going to get to this because we don't have time to touch on it now, but certainly Jack's American Pub, which when you were out of town for all the hubbub around this, but Jack's American Pub on Brady Street in Milwaukee had... that was the first night of their big special, their big promo about that was a little petty, but it was about Aaron Rodgers and it was about him playing and then paying your bar tab. And that I think is a super interesting story, but we're going to have to table it because, when we come back, Dan Schaefer is going to be here and we're going to recombobulate on some of the, top issues happening in Madison, happening in Milwaukee, happening across Wisconsin. But we'll start the 11 o'clock hour with the disappointed fans who really thought they were going to get their bar tab paid for last night. But because of, you know, how the game ended up going last night, they did not. But there was national press there covering what was going to happen. And so that is another interesting story. But if you have more feelings on whether or not you're feeling guilty this morning about Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, or do you also feel like how the 715 texter felt, that there's some more zingers in there for you, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And also, if you have any questions for Dan Schaefer, coming up, 844-96-PARTY. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this.
Mr. Rangers is great. Balls of fire.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Authorities in Pennsylvania are warning that an escaped murderer is now armed after stealing a gun from a home last night in Chester County. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens.
He grabbed a .22 rifle that was leaning in the corner of the garage. The homeowner drew a pistol and fired at Cavalcante as he fled with the rifle.
On Capitol Hill, CBS's Linda Kenyon tells us House Speaker McCarthy intends to back an impeachment inquiry against President Biden.
The speaker is expected to make that announcement Thursday morning in a closed-door meeting with House Republicans. Senate Republicans have said they believe their House colleagues lack the necessary evidence.
Arms talks are expected soon between North Korean's leader and Russian President Putin. Kim Jong-un arrived there early this morning.
Seems to me a certain degree of desperation on his part that he would pursue North Korea. North Koreans are going to sell him, I'm sure, the oldest ammunition they've got.
Military consultant Jeff McCausland, CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to the Wisconsin Law Journal, a lawsuit is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to block the potential impeachment proceedings of newly elected Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, arguing that removing her from office would invalidate the constitutional rights of the Wisconsinites that voted for her. The lawsuit was filed directly with the Supreme Court on Monday as Wisconsin Republican lawmakers float the potential of impeaching Justice Protasiewicz for comments made during the state's electoral districts during her campaign. The Wisconsin Senate Committee on Shared Revenue, Elections, and Consumer Protections has voted against confirming Megan Wolf to remain as the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call called the vote a charade and a waste of taxpayer dollars, arguing that a recent Supreme Court decision means Wolf is allowed to stay in the position indefinitely after the Wisconsin Elections Commission failed to get the majority needed to advance the confirmation to the state Senate. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Jay Matner is back on the board. And Dan Schaefer, it's Tuesday at 10:30, so we are recombobulating with the one and only. How are you, friend?
We are recombobulating. What a day. What a day in Wisconsin to be discombobulated.
What makes you say that? What is your top things in your head right now that you're like, geez?
Well, obviously, you were talking about it before the break. The Aaron Rodgers turn of events. It's just unbelievable what happened. And just, first series after all the hype, running out with the American flag with the 9/11 tribute and all that. And season's over, four plays into it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I've had my issues with Rodgers over the years, but I can't help but feel for the guy and feel for the whole situation. It's just awful. It's just awful.
It really is. I mean, I think that's why I was kind of like, do you feel guilty? Because I think there were so many jokes and stuff kind of leading up to it I hope you don't win this year, but not this. And so that story is crazy. Obviously, we have our own political shenanigans happening in our state. I think I checked Twitter during the break, and McCarthy's talking about impeaching Biden. Like, there's never a lack of things to talk about, is there, Dan?
No, never a lack of things to talk about. Always a need to recombobulate, that's for sure.
Whew. All right, so I guess let's start. I mean, I think this is kind of just going until this dies, hope and knock on wood that it does die. I feel like we're going to touch on this probably almost every day on the show. I know most other shows are talking about it just because it is that undemocratic, let's say, but is the ongoing, will they or won't they, with impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz before she has heard a single case. And you recently wrote about this basically from the angle of, I think this was the title, it's outrageous and undemocratic. It's also completely predictable. And so let's talk a little bit more about why you say we should have all just seen this coming.
Yeah, I mean, for one, you know, Dan Knoedel's now state senator more or less campaigned on this. He was on the same ballot in the April election that Protasiewicz was. But in addition to that, you know, you look back to what Robin Voss and Wisconsin Republicans have been doing for the last, I don't know, 5 years at least, is that they have gone out of their way to undermine and invalidate and overturn election results over the years. And that has included, you know, after the 2018 election where Tony Evers beat Scott Walker, moving to strip powers from the governor's office, after the 2020 election, after Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump, immediately launching investigations into the validity of everything, the Gableman mess, all of that. So this is really, you know, about what we've come to expect from mm-hmm. Robin Voss and legislative Republicans who don't seem to be able to have a good answer, or, you know, they're not listening to the will of the people, the voices of the people that are made heard through these votes. Protasiewicz obviously won with a landslide victory in April, and I think people wanted to see change. Mm-hmm. And Robin Voss is, of all issues for him to cling to power in any way that he can, it is obviously going to be through the maps. You know, these maps give him the power to, you know, basically run the state legislature without having to, kind of protect key seats and things like that. They have their ridiculous gerrymandered majorities, and that gives them the option to do things like launch ridiculous impeachment investigations into Janet Protasiewicz. And I think this is, you know, just such a ridiculous move. It's undemocratic. It's outrageous. But like I said, it's nothing that we've, it is completely predictable. It's completely in line with everything that we've been seeing from these Wisconsin Republicans over the years, especially under the leadership of Robin Voss.
And so, there's potential that the campaign that the Wisconsin Democrats have launched, along with, I mean, I think there's plenty of just Democratic groups that are Democratic with a small D, who are like full court press on this because it is that much of a constitutional crisis. And so if you have not, I'm not sure we've talked about the website on this show yet, but defendjustice.com, you can go there and you can see literally everyone in the assembly, everyone in the state Senate, and where they stand right now, at least what they've said publicly on impeaching or not impeaching. You can look up your address so you can easily find who your reps are. So, and then you can easily call them and let them know how you feel about which way they would vote on this topic. So they make it super easy for you. But it sounds like there are rumblings that this amount of pressure could be working. And that while Robin Voss certainly, like we said, these gerrymandered maps are what keeps Robin Voss as our shadow governor, right? As Politico called him what was that, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Because it's not only that he is in a safe seat. He has that many people who are in a safe seat who he knows they have to be more loyal to him and the party than their constituents so he can get them to do whatever he wants. And so this is very personal, it seems like, for Robin Voss and why he specifically is so against giving up any of his power.
Yeah, and I've written on a number of occasions that these gerrymandered maps are Robin Voss's skeleton key to holding on to power in the state of Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections that Republicans lose. You know, they've lost, Republicans and Republican-backed candidates have lost 14 of the last 17 statewide elections, but Republicans still enjoy huge, huge majorities in the state legislature, and they have continued to consolidate power within the state legislature during Robin Voss's tenure. So it's just an outsized power and influence in that body, and it is a way for no one really to ever it's easier for Republicans to get a supermajority than it is for Democrats to get a simple majority here in this 50-50 swing state. So, you know, it is really ridiculous. And I think, you know, it is just goes to show how important these maps are to Robin Voss and that he will go to any length possible to protect them.
Dan, I had a question, and we had Representative Evan Goyke on yesterday when Joseph Pecky was here. Because Justice Janet's victory was so large and so overwhelming, is it a fair assumption that a fair amount of Republicans voted for her? And therefore, I would think this would also really tick them off.
Yeah, I think you had a lot of, you know, obviously Democrats, but Dem-leaning independents, those, like you said, people on the right who might want change in the state of Wisconsin want to see some checks and balances come to Robin Voss in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And I think it is really important, like you mentioned, Kristen, the Defend Justice effort, highlighting not just what Voss is saying, because obviously you're going to interview the Assembly Speaker and see what he has to say. But this is something that every member of the Wisconsin State Legislature would have to vote on. And I think it is really important to hold every last member accountable. And so I think you're seeing a little bit from, there was a statement from State Representative Scott Johnson, who represents, I believe, an area in Jefferson County, said last week that he would not be, so he's a Republican, and he said he's not supporting the impeachment effort. He said something along the lines of, you know, I didn't vote for Janet Protasiewicz, but she won. That's the results of the election. We have to move on. And I wonder if we're going to see more of that. And I think particularly in the state Senate, where they need every last vote to be able to impeach, you know, you get one Republican state senator who goes on the record to say, I'm not on board with this. You know, that could really derail the effort as it is. And I think, you know, Defend Justice eyed Appleton area State Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara as a potential swing vote here, as somebody who's leaning against impeachment. I wonder if we're going to see a few more of those, some especially from people like her who are in some swingier districts like in the Fox Valley or Western Wisconsin or suburban Milwaukee, where you have, you know, some of the more crossover votes that are coming through. And I think, you know, this is going to be something that people remember. This is going to be, you know, I write a preview of all 100 and however many races are on the ballot in Wisconsin State Legislature. I think this issue is going to be something that people remember when it comes to state legislature. It's going to be something that people are going to know, want to know where their legislators stand on this as well.
I also just saw at the very top, Amy Binsfield from Assembly District 27th is leaning against removal as well. And so she's also a Republican. And so I think put the pressure on, like if you voted and you don't want your vote erased, let your representative know that you are watching this. And I do think that if there's enough pressure and there's enough Republicans who are like, I can't peg my legacy to this. And it's just the fact that Robin Voss would peg his legacy to this. That is just, what is the calculus there as far as...
It's just power consolidation at all costs. That is just the guiding principle of Robin Voss, that consolidate power at all costs, and a Democrat is not allowed to govern, even if they win. You know, Democrats should not be allowed to govern in Wisconsin. That's probably Robin Voss. He has like maybe a poster of that above his desk.
Put that on his tombstone.
Not allowed to govern. Yeah.
And what kind of retribution can the popcorn king dish out if some assembly members do decide not to vote for impeachment?
I mean, he could you know, remove people off of committees or things like that. But I think, you know, didn't see any retaliation to Scott Johnson when he put that very public statement out last week. So I think that was pretty interesting. And, you know, I think the pressure is going to be on Voss with this one, you know, to see where things stand. And I think he's playing with fire a little bit too, because I think this could backfire. You know, if the redistricting case ultimately goes forward in the way that the litigants want it to, that means every member of the Wisconsin State Assembly and every member of the Wisconsin State Senate will be on the ballot next fall in 2024 if they do get new maps in time. So I think, you know, Robin Voss is going to try anything he can, anything that is legally possible for him to do. They'll gin up any kind of reason that will be used to do this unprecedented action of trying to impeach a Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. So they will do anything they possibly can to keep these maps.
Well, and it still seems murky to me of like the details of how this will proceed. Because I know at one point, if she resigns now and they appoint someone this year, then that would trigger a new election in 2024. But if she waits until next year, then that person gets to do the entire term. There also yesterday was a lawsuit that's asking the state Supreme Court to block Republican lawmakers from seeking to impeach. So like, how much have you been able to keep up on the details of like, can they do this? Is there any mechanism to stop them from doing this legally?
Yeah, there's so many moving parts here, and I'm trying to do my best to learn about it. But
same.
You're right. If there's if you know if she resigns before December 1st, it's a different scenario than if she were to resign or be removed after December 1st. You know, that could kick in an election, either a do-over election basically for next spring, or would have to open up for the next like available spring election slot when there's also not already a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice that'll be on the ballot. That I believe is not until 2031. And then there's all these different mechanisms of legal behind the scenes stuff that I went to school for political science, but I didn't go to law school, so I don't know all of these different
things. Not a Wisconsin constitutional lawyer over here.
But I do think that there is, you know, this is a very, very unprecedented action. And so I do think that like the suit trying to block the impeachment, we're going to see that as well. And I think we're seeing some national interest start to turn to this case. I believe Eric Holder wrote a piece about it that was published today. So, I mean, this is going to, the pressure is going to be really dialed up on Robin Voss and Wisconsin Republicans on an issue that, like, I just don't get the sense that, you know, even some of the like never Trump Republican types like Jennifer Rubin or Charlie Sykes or something like that, they've all written columns already, like, you know, mm-hmm. opposition to this effort. So it's not like, you know, it's just like the people, like the folks from Wisconsin Institute, Law and Liberty and wherever else that are just doing all these ridiculous gymnastics to try and support this effort, even though they've spoken out against them in the past. So, but again, it's just that they know that the maps are the key to everything. So I think it's such a big deal.
Well, in another case of can they do that, we'll talk about Megan Wolf and what's the update there as far as can they just remove her? I don't know, but we'll talk about that when we come back. There's also a little news about the domes. Maybe we'll talk more Packers. We got a lot to try to fit in with the 8 more minutes with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area when we come back. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply.
You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
It's 60 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Mattinair back on the board and Dan Schaefer here to recombobulate as we typically do on Tuesdays from 10:30 to 11. So we spent the last segment talking about the ongoing, what will happen with the potential impeachment of Jennifer Tsewitz. And there is another official that Republicans are trying to get rid of, despite the fact that under the same rules, they had no problem with their guy staying on because he wouldn't leave. But when it comes to the person they're trying to get rid of, they're just going to bulldoze right over that. So yesterday, the Wisconsin Senate committee cleared the path for Megan Wolf, who is Wisconsin's chief elections administrator, to be fired, despite the fact that when Fred Prehn didn't step down from the DNR board, they were perfectly fine not having forcing a vote to have him step down. So how much have you followed this, Dan? And how much, I mean, this is another thing that's just going to end up in court, right? Because Josh Call, and basically legally, they're saying with what how the Supreme Court ruled on Fred Prehn, they can't do this.
Yeah, I haven't been following this as much as the impeachment issue, but okay. I've certainly been paying attention to it. You know, it just seems, but I think, you know, we could talk about all the different mechanisms of what they're doing and the you know, staying on the commission that they're appointed to and the hypocrisy of all of it. But I think so much of the, you know, push to fire Megan Wolf as the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, it just goes back to the 2020 election conspiracies, right? It's just another, you know, red meat move to the election deniers that make up such a huge part of the Republican Party's base. You know, I know that there were a bunch of, you know, kind of election denier, prominent election deniers that were, you know, put on the stand in the Assembly Committee's hearing or the Senate Committee's hearing talking about this. You know, it's just these people who are just completely off the deep end about the 2020 election. I think, you know, Gableman was there making some other people look sane by comparison. Considering who else was on that committee. And I think, again, it's just, it doesn't matter, just the same, not unlike the impeachment push, it doesn't matter what the reason is for wanting to fire her. They're just going to, what the technical reason is for wanting to get rid of her, they're just going to make something up. They're just going to find something, just the same, you know, a lot of people are saying like, oh, why are you covering impeachment when you has to be a corruption charge? Well, they're just going to invent one. Just like they're doing with Megan Wolf. I mean, don't you think it's the same, much the same type of behavior and approach that we're seeing from Wisconsin Republicans?
Totally. Well, it's also, but it's, I still love the two things can be true. Don't forget to bank your vote and don't forget to vote early this year, you Republicans. But also, but yes, the 2020 election was totally corrupt and because they voted early. And so it's like, okay, I guess the mental gymnastics of Simone Biles is what we're doing today.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's just, you know, they're going to keep trying to meddle with the, election administration in the state, running up to, you know, local elections next year, primaries, everything with 2024. It's just a sign of, you know, it's just the latest of what's happening and a sign of what's to come. It's just like this ridiculous approach to governing where somebody, you know, and I think she has, Wolf has garnered the support of almost all of the other members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's just the one guy who was literally one of the fake electors, Bob Spindell, who is voting, you know, against her. Everybody else on that commission, even those appointed by Republicans, seem to be in favor of the way that she operates. So, you know.
Well, I want to, Jane, you said that we have a good text that we wanted to read.
We do. John from the Falls checking in at 844-967-2789. I think it would be helpful for Dan to remind everyone the powers that were limited by the Republicans when Tony Evers won his election.
Appointment powers is one of the main pieces of it, right? I mean, you know, and that goes to all of the different issues that we've been talking about here, doesn't it?
Yeah. So before we let you go, I want to make sure that we touch on, because you are tracking all of the stuff with the childcare counts compared to what the GOP bills have been. Now, I know last week there were hearings on those GOP-backed bills. It sounded like, at least the coverage I read from those hearings, that there was some consideration of providers, childcare providers, were like, yes, this might make things a little bit more flexible, but none of this is getting at the root cause. So what have you heard as far as opposition or support on those bills?
Yeah, it's interesting because we have, you know, all this nonsense with impeachment talks and firing elected administrations. We have some real things that we need to deal with in this state, childcare being one of them. Obviously, the governor called this special session. That'll happen next week. But the Republicans are set to, you know, kind of move some bills through committee last week and could, as soon as Thursday, vote on those bills. And they have not exactly had a warm reception from those in the childcare community. One of the people who testified on those bills, Breen Hendrickson, she is the co-founder of WeCan, owner and operator of Little Explorers Family Childcare in New Glarus. She said, and I quote, "I am opposing all the assembly bills that purport to solve the childcare crisis. It is clear you are fabricating a reason in order to justify your lack of responsiveness in listening to your constituents who overwhelmingly told you to vote yes for childcare counts." So these bills, providers have talked about, you know, growing ratios of providers to children, loosening restrictions on various things, including age restrictions on how providers, making it easier for 16-year-olds to provide childcare. And this has been met with a really negative response from a lot of the people in the childcare community. I know one person that was quoted in a CBS 58 story talked about how this will make more people want to quit the profession. Yeah. So if the Republicans' goal is to try to get more people to want to quit the profession, please, by all means, go forward with this ridiculous package of bills and continue to ignore childcare counts. But I think, you know, these bills are ridiculous. And I think part of what Wisconsin Republicans are doing in the news this week is just try to distract from how unpopular these are in advance of the governor's special session, which has, you know, paid family leave, all these other workforce conditions attached to it. And, you know, all indications are that they're going to gavel in and gavel out once again. And so vote on these bills this Thursday. I think it'll be a really contentious final vote for those, especially with the special session that would be less than a week away.
Well, the special session is a week from tomorrow, so we will talk to you a week from today, preview that, and any votes that come down, any other changing craziness that happens in our state. I'm sure there will be something. But Dan Schaefer, founder, editor of the Recombobulation Area, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you as always, friend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.